This is an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
Look, we've had a long-running issue with understaffing at the Risdon prison and with other number of inmates in the prison. The last weekend, it sort of reached a crisis point where they were 10 officers short on Saturday of their normal staffing of 63, and they were 11 officers short of their normal staffing on the Sunday. As a result of that, in order to be able to run the prison in a safe way, there was a partial lockdown on the Saturday, which meant that inmates were only out of their cells for a very restricted amount of time. And on the Sunday, there was an almost total lockdown. And of course, Sunday was Father's Day, so it's very concerning to hear that that would interrupt the opportunity that inmates would have to be able to make contact with their families on Father's Day.
So would families have actually gone to visit their dads on Father's Day and not been able to get in?
No, there weren't visitations on the weekend, but there normally would have been an opportunity for inmates to have been able to make contact with their family by phone. Now, I understand the decision was made that there needed to be a total lockdown. Our members, of course, understood the pressure that would put inmates on, and as the day went by, I'm now informed that some calls were facilitated. But it's still concerning that the decisions of the government have got to the stage where inmates are being able to be denied what I think is a really important thing, to stay in contact with your family when you're in prison. It's good for those inmates, it's good for their families, and ultimately it's good for the community.
So spirits would have been down on Sunday. Were people upset about it?
Yeah, there was a degree of anger over that, but it's a pressure cooker situation within that prison. It just keeps mounting up as a result of overcrowding and understaffing, and that understaffing resulting in inmates being denied access to things that they would normally have access to, things like visits and training and out of cell time. When pressure rises like that within a prison, it usually vents itself through some sort of violent incident that sees my members getting hurt. And we think that's a cycle that just needs to be broken, and that the government needs to take some action to relieve that pressure, either by reducing the number of inmates in that prison or increasing the staffing.
So you've got two issues really regarding the overcrowding and then also staffing. So with so many prison officers actually absent, has there been any discussion around the employment of new prison officers to meet the demands of the inmates?
Yeah, look, it's a slow thing, recruiting correctional officers and training them, and the government is going through that. It's become such an unpalatable workplace. They're not recruiting any faster than people are leaving, and therefore the long-term problem is not actually being fixed. And at the same time, you've got a government making pro-law and order decisions around suspended sentences and bail and all of these other things, which you're seeing more and more people put into prison. So it's a catch-22. I say to the government, if you want to be hard on law and order, it's a costly decision and you need to put the money where your mouth is. You can't simply say, we're going to lock more people up without putting aside the resources to make sure that they can be secured properly and humanely.
I mean, looking at the issues around inmates sleeping on cell floors, are these sentenced prisoners, or are they inmates that are there that are on remand?
These are sentenced prisoners within a modern prison facility that was designed to have one person in a cell, that now have two and on occasions three people in the cell with mattresses on the floor. This is just classic overcrowding. We've seen it around Australia as Conservative governments have made decisions to lock more and more people up, and they've done it without making the tough decisions of building more prisons and allocating the funds that go along with that.
So looking at the Royal Commission that is current in the Northern Territory regarding protection and detention of children in prison, some of the things that have come through where there's been high rates of incidents with the kids in custody is that, you know, there's been a note that there hasn't been the correct staffing or training. So this seems to be an issue that's quite prevalent throughout all of Australia regarding kids in custody and adults in custody around the prison officers and the numbers of prison officers employed.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as the president of the federal CPSU, the National Union for Correctional Officers, we're hearing this in basically every jurisdiction. You know, in Western Australia, it's probably the worst, where prison overcrowding is just ridiculous. A few years ago in Victoria, we had prisons that were being erected from shipping containers in order to house the additional inmates they were cramming in there. In South Australia, they've got inmates being held in police watch houses. This is a big problem around the country. I mean, I think it goes back to decisions to lock more people up. You know, it's a legitimate decision the community can make, but they need to understand the costs associated with that. And that means you need to build more prisons, you need to employ more prison officers. Putting people in jail is expensive. It's certainly more expensive than dealing with their issues and trying to keep them out of prison.
Okay, so also in August, there were inmates that had a standoff over wardens phasing out nicotine patches. Now, do you want to talk about that situation? Because I know they phased out smoking over the last 2 years in prisons in southern parts of Australia. So what's happening?
Yeah, well, smoking ceased in the Tasmanian prison about a little over 2 years ago. At the time, a nicotine replacement program was put in place that allowed inmates who were addicted to nicotine to use patches for a period of between 8 and 12 weeks. That program was left in place for 2 years. It got to the stage where the program was effectively being abused. The patches were being used to stand over inmates. There was a prison industry around producing homemade cigarettes from nicotine patches. And eventually the decision that was always going to be made was brought forward to say, yeah, we need to end this nicotine replacement program. Currently, we have the program running in the reception or the remand prisons. But when inmates are sentenced and go into the main prison facilities, they no longer have access to the nicotine replacement program.
Smoking is a health issue. So obviously people's well-being isn't being attended to. There's always been an underground industry around cigarettes anyway in prisons. But now, obviously, with the nicotine patches, like, there needs to be ongoing programs to support people, because some people may have smoked for 20 years, you know, and then to have to automatically just give up when you're not, you know, psychologically even ready for it, and then you go through this whole withdrawal around it. Like, it's a really big thing to give up smoking, especially when you may be coming off other substances and things like that. It's a big health issue.
It is a vexed issue. I mean, people who are addicted to things other than nicotine are required to give them up when they enter the prison system. It's being pretty clear now to anyone in Tasmania that if you go to jail, that you will be going to a smoke-free prison. So that's something maybe people need to take into consideration. The way the program ran previously was that people were on the high-strength patches for 8 to 12 weeks and then came off them overnight to nothing. I'm not sure how different that is to going into the system and realising that you're going to have to get off cigarettes. Smoking is a health issue. It's also an issue within workplaces, which prisons also are, and the exposure of correctional officers and other staff within the prison to secondhand smoke was something that I find unacceptable as a union official. Our members shouldn't be put in that situation, and I think the decision to remove cigarettes from our prison was the right thing to do.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio or download the SBS radio app.